Welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 18. Now that it is official that I myself am a dance teacher of sorts, I thought that it would be fun to take time to talk about some of my previous dance teachers, more specifically, the bad ones. And, you know, I think we can probably explore why I hate Dohwang so much, why I've never tried modern contemporary, because, you know, it's not rocket science that it takes a bad teacher to ruin something just as much as it takes a good teacher to truly make you engage with whatever material they're trying to present. So, I talked about this last episode, but the school that I currently teach at has quite the history of awful dance teachers. I gave you guys the short list last episode, but we're going in detail today. I'm not going into detail for all of the dance teachers that were considered bad because I have not experienced all of them. Like, I wasn't around when the Russian ballet teacher was the instructor for the Chinese dance class. I just heard the stories and saw some of the output because her work was in 2018's Mulan. I also don't really remember the teacher who insisted that every dance have a story. I do remember her teaching us some Tibetan dance, or rather trying to teach us some Tibetan dance. There were some other girls in my class who offhandedly made some sort of comments that it was odd that counts in dance only went up to 8 versus in music it was dependent on the time signature, so it varied. So when the teacher was teaching us this bit of the Tibetan dance in air quotes, because it wasn't really much of a Tibetan dance, it was kind of just like slow walking from what I remember. But she, to be quirky, I guess, she had this one specific part count up to 10 instead of 8. I don't know. That's literally the only tangible memory I have of her besides making us sit down and literally write down the story for one of our dances. And that was really weird. And I also remember my sister and me distinctly not liking her. And I also remember her not liking working with kids. But onto the quirky dance teacher. So some backstory for the quirky dance teacher. At some point in 2013, we had this one teacher, Sunny, which is really confusing given the name of our current dance teacher, which is Summer. But with Miss Sunny, I won't lie, none of us were a huge fan of her at first. I'm someone who does not like change in their personal life, and this one was a result of me not liking change, for the record. But so there's this other girl in my class, and we'll call her Rachel. We'll call her Rachel. I struggled to think of a pseudonym there. We're giving her a pseudonym because she pops up quite a few times in this episode. But Rachel was in my dance class, and I never really got along with Rachel. And she low-key bullied me for a little while there. I got over it, though. But Rachel and I both agreed that we did not like this new dance teacher. So this was either something that was either really bad, or we were both equally naive and were just like both stuck at this level. But the Miss Sunny's stint, part one, was very strange because we also got this aide, and I truly mean aide, because she was sort of just there to help. And I don't think we ever really knew her name or were formally introduced to her. From my memory, this aide, this woman, just showed up one week and no one really asked any questions. And to this day, I do not know if this was someone that Miss Sunny brought in or if this was someone that the dance school brought in. But regardless, during, I'm going to call this Miss Sunny part one. during Miss Sunny Part 1, we started to learn the Dukhuang dance. And I don't think I was much of a fan of this from the get-go. I did not vibe with the grandiose music, which sounded like this. And the ribbons that we ended up working with were quite awful. And I know I've already complained about this, but I don't think I've conveyed how awful they were to work with quite enough. The ribbons, I've already said that the ribbons were made of like a chiffon-like material. So when the AC turned on, it was kind of game over. But there were sticks in the ribbon, and the location of these sticks were far below where my hands could reach. If we weren't dropping the ribbons in the choreography, it wouldn't be a problem. But that wasn't what the reality was. I had at some point drop the sticks, do a little bit of dancey dance, and then pick the sticks back up. And it was a pain in the ass. And this wasn't like a, aw, look at Anna's short, stubby little arms problem. It was, I'm like 98% sure that Rachel, who also had the ribbons, had the same problem. And she had objectively long arms. So it wasn't a me problem. It was a ribbons problem. But yeah, I also just was not a fan of the choreography. And I do not think that it was teacher's dance style that I didn't like. The other choreographies that she came up with were quite fun and I rather enjoyed them. It was just this cursed dance. I don't know what happened towards the end of 2013. I think that the teacher went to Taiwan, but to us, the students, it was very unclear as to whether Sunny was going to be returning or not. Either way, both Miss Sunny and the random aide were gone one day. And this is kind of what makes me think that the aide was Miss Sunny's addition, because the person who took Miss Sunny's place as a dance teacher was not this random aide with whom we had been working for a little bit now. It was a completely different, equally random lady. And this lady, I want to say that we went through a few dance teachers here, but the longest staying one during this time was a very quirky Zadie lady, and we called her Miss Birdie. But I am not quite sure if that was the name that she introduced herself with or if it was a pseudonym my friends and I gave her. Either way, in this episode, we will be referring to her as Miss Birdie. She was older than the other dance teachers that we've had previously. And I believe in the future, barring maybe the Russian ballet teacher, I don't know how old she was or roughly. And that's relevant for not this story, but the dance teacher story that comes after this one. But she was nice. She seemed nice. She seemed to like being around kids. And I know that seems to like being around kids sounds like it should be an obvious if you're working with kids. But for reference, that one teacher did not like working with kids, and she primarily worked with the younger class. I'm not here to say that everyone should like working with kids, but I feel like you shouldn't be applying to jobs or taking jobs that require you to work with kids if you can avoid it, you know? Okay, so everyone has one identifying feature, right? And I'm not talking like hair color, right? I'm talking about what they choose to wear, right? So for me, for a good while in my second year of university, I always had a ribbon in my hair. And then in my final year of university, I transitioned from the girl with the ribbon in her hair to the girl who wears the leather jacket. For Miss Birdie, it was this blue leotard that she wore to every practice, to the point where my friends and I were able to identify her, if not by name, then by the blue leotard. This teacher was not around for long. It has been 10 years since then, and we have since experienced significantly worse dance teachers. So I'm thinking that my friends, if I ask them now, if they remember who this person is, they would not remember. And now, having checked with Angelina, she does not remember Miss Birdie, but I swear that there was, in fact, a time when the blue leotard teacher was identifiable and memorable. But again, to emphasize, Miss Birdie, she was nice. But I don't know. She was, again, she was a zany lady. She was kind of quirky. She was really into, like, having middle schoolers and younger, because I was only in my first semester of eighth grade and also the oldest in the class by at least a couple of years. So she was super into, like, having middle schoolers and younger take our best shot at introduction to self-choreography. And it was odd in ways I cannot explain. Like, everything about Miss Birdie feels like a fever dream. Not just because her impact was basically forgotten, but it was just like, it was even bizarre at the time. I'm trying to think of a way to describe this, but so, you know, okay, to start with, you know those like 3 to 5 hour compilations of relaxing Chinese flute music on YouTube? We used that for the music, which strikes me as really odd because, you know, it's specifically for Chinese dance, right? Like I don't want to have this argument of like, oh, well, any music can be, is danceable if you try really hard. And because, yeah, I, fair enough, like Pomnar does not seem like a danceable song to me, and yet BTS has, there's a choreography for it. So, but with Chinese dance, okay, Chinese dance, kind of different story. The music that tends to be in those compilation videos are, it's really slow, and it doesn't have the same, it doesn't, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not Chinese dance music, let's just say that. But say that we're forced to dance to this music, okay? Like, it really, the pace of the music really limited the kinds of movements that would look decent in a Chinese dance style. Not to mention that slower dances are really awkward for an eighth grader and younger to execute, let alone come up with. To be fair to Miss Birdie, though, it wasn't like we just jumped into the deep end with these exercises. In Chinese dance, there is this kind of walk, the name of which I cannot remember, but you are supposed to take really small steps very quickly to travel. I would say that overall, no one at the recreational level really does a great job at this, but it is a basic that you learn early and work on a lot. And by small step, let me clarify, I mean that each step should not be longer than the length of your foot. So when we do this exercise, usually we do like little whatevers with our arms, like just to, so that we're not just like walking across the room, you know, so we kind of get used to the idea of our feet are doing one thing and our arms are doing something else. Like our arms are doing something probably slower than what our feet are doing, you know, and we would do this in a line. The person at the front of the line would kind of lead the line in terms of arm movements, and you know, everyone would just follow the person in front. Very straightforward. And usually it was the teacher to set what we were doing with our arms. So it's not like the person in front was coming up with like the arm movements. These were already pre-decided. So I had the most experience with this, not because of my age, but because I was also attending a different dance school, and we did this exercise, I want to say every class. And but with Miss Birdie, it started out with Miss Birdie saying, oh, figure out whatever you're going to do with your arms. And since I was the most familiar with this exercise and also the oldest, the burden fell to me. I just ripped the arm whatevers from the other dance class. And then that same class, I believe, that we started this exercise, from what I recall, the weird part happened. So we went back and forth across the room as usual. And then at some point, Miss Birdie goes, okay, now stop in the middle of the room and do choreography. And eighth grader me was like, what choreography? What choreography? And Miss Birdie replies, whatever you want it to be. Have fun with it. Eighth grader me was blinking. Like, not only was I've now randomly suddenly thrown into the deep end of apparently self choreography, but we were also doing it to the relaxing Chinese flute music. Flabbergasted, absolutely flabbergasted. I BS'd my way through, I remember, and I hated it. I'm pretty sure that we only did this for like one class, and thank God for that, because I do not think that eighth grader me could handle the anxiety for more than one class. With Miss Birdie, we took a fat break from the Dunhuang dance at the cost of really weird exercises. When Miss Sunny was the teacher, we primarily used our two-hour class to stretch and then learn Dunhuang dance. But when Miss Birdie came onto the scene, we took a break from the Dunhuang dance to do these weird exercises. But once we did return to the Dunhuang dance, things were still weird in only a way that Miss Birdie can make them odd, you know? And when I'm talking about Miss Birdie and I'm talking about Dunhuang, please know that I am saying Dunhuang with air quotes because what happened is that I believe we showed her what we had been working on when Miss Sunny was the teacher, and Miss Birdie basically said, that's cool. And then she changed the music and the choreography completely. Like, she erased everything that Miss Sunny did with us. And it was very different from the choreography that we had. It was no longer a ribbon dance. It was now a peepaw dance, which is still Dunhuang, but what is happening? And, you know, like, the choreography itself was so different that I hesitate to call it, like, a Dunhuang dance. It felt more like a classical dance with, like, a little bit of Dunhuang sprinkles on it than, like, a Dunhuang dance full stop, if I remember correctly. I don't remember a lot of my time here. My memory is super hazy because everything feels like it's something that I dreamt up. But I did some of it. But I do know that some of this actually happened because it was really weird. It was really weird. But I also had solo lessons with Miss Birdie, and I do not know why I had solo lessons with Miss Birdie. But they were just as bizarre as the group class, if I'm being honest. I don't really remember what exactly we worked on, but I distinctly remember that my first solo with Miss Birdie, she pulled out her phone and showed me a recording of a Dunhuang scarf ribbon dance. And it was like a recording of a computer screen. Like, she had the computer that she played the video on at home, and then she recorded her computer screen with her phone. And I guess this was before Apple came out with the update that stabilized the phone camera more, so the video was like fairly shaky. And I don't even remember what the point was. I just remember her being like, this is what Dunhuang looks like, and then probably followed by, let's do your favorite part of this section, implying that we would be using this section in the group dance, both music and choreography in Mulan. I don't remember. But the section she showed me, this was the music. And as a reminder, the music that we were working on sounded like this. And to touch on the choreography, the video that she showed me, it was like, I want to say like a 30-second clip, or at most a 60-second clip of that dance. And it had, I'm not quite sure why she was emphasizing the ribbons, because the dancer was just doing like the poses ribbonless, and so I don't know, I don't get it. I honestly God do not remember what we worked on, but I just remember that being weird. And then one day she was just gone, and Miss Sunny was back, and the aide from before was still gone. Like, she never came back. So Miss Sunny then said, hey, everything that you worked on with that previous teacher, we're not doing that. We're going to go back to the stuff that we were working on when I was last year. And that's kind of why Miss Birdie, part of the reason why Miss Birdie's time with us really felt like a fever dream. Like, she was there, she made changes, but then when she left, her changes did not persist. And her time with us really didn't have much of an impact. Like, she wasn't an awful dance teacher. So Miss Birdie just kind of exists in this odd state of, like, being like this odd blip in my memory as one of the notable dance teachers between particularly good dance teachers. But now, having Miss Sunny back, you know, I wasn't thrilled at first, but as time went on, I warmed up to her. I ended up liking the way she taught me quite a lot. And, you know, Miss Sunny, she was a little bit stricter than what we were used to with previous long-stay dance teachers, but she wasn't super strict, such that the transition from a more lax dance teacher to a super strict dance teacher was going to be difficult. I had private lessons with Miss Sunny, and they were less weird than the ones I had with Miss Birdie. And, you know, I really did appreciate this about Miss Sunny, is that she would give me difficult choreography with the understanding that I would get better with practice, since we had so much time between learning the choreography and performing it. But it really felt like she saw the potential that I had and the willingness that I had to work hard, and gave me choreography that she thought that it was challenging in the moment, but knew that I could make look good with enough practice. Like, I just, up until that point, I never really had that kind of dance teacher before, and I never since have had that kind of dance teacher before that believed in me like that. And it's kind of crazy, honestly. But Miss Sunny was actually the one who told me that I needed to try other dance styles if I wanted to get good at Chinese dance. And I took that to heart, clearly. And I believe at some point, either earlier this episode or last episode, at some point in the past, though, I have mentioned that after Mulan was over, things got better. I think it was me not liking how dance was going for Mulan, combined with the instability of the dance teacher, that made me not like Miss Sunny at first, and also made me really hate Dong Huang. But it was fine. After Mulan, I still didn't like Dong Huang, but I liked Miss Sunny. And then in 2015, Miss Sunny left, but this time her leave was more calculated and more permanent. The person who was going to take over after Miss Sunny left would sit in on classes to observe for a couple of weeks before taking over. And because I didn't like Miss Sunny at first and grew to really like her as a dance teacher, I remember telling myself to be open-minded with this new teacher, to try really hard to not make a judgment. And I knew that if I complained about not liking this new dance teacher to my mom would more or less say something along the lines of that, like, I needed more time to pass. I needed to get used to this dance teacher, because what if I end up really liking this dance teacher like I ended up really liking Miss Sunny? So I tried really hard to go into this new arrangement with an open mind and as with little complaints to my mother as possible. So this new dance teacher, I think her name was Maya. She had a dance history in modern contemporary, I believe. She had zero prior dance experience in Chinese dance, but that wasn't necessarily too unique of an idea. The dance teacher who did not like working with kids also didn't have much of a background in Chinese dance. And, you know, I said it in my episode with Angelina, and I would proudly proclaim it to anybody, but Chinese dance has a pretty low barrier of entry, especially if you're open to the style. And, you know, there isn't as much of an emphasis on original choreography. So there are lots of resources out there to for you to kind of get an idea of what the style actually looks like at a professional level, how good the style can get, you know, how technical the style can get. Is the part that's hard about Chinese dance is actually getting good. But, you know, getting the 101 is not too difficult, is kind of the point. But the dreaded day of Maya's first class arrives. And then she introduces herself and she drops this little ditty on us. I do not know Chinese dance and I have no intention of learning it. Then she continued to talk more about her intentions for the class, saying some bullshit about expanding our horizons. And because I'm pretty sure in her introduction, she asked if this was the only style that we had done. And we had all said yes, except for Rachel, who was in the dance club at school or whatever, and was now at this point anti-Chinese dance. She thought it was super lame. But she ends her little introductory speech with, we'll have to teach each other. And I'll be so for real. She lost me immediately with her "I have no intention of learning Chinese dance" claim. As an avid Chinese dance student and fan, I kind of lost respect for her immediately. And I knew that I was probably going to be disregarding anything she says from this point forward, because it was clear she had no intention of even getting an introductory course, getting a prologue to the Chinese dance style. So clearly we're not off to a great start, because, you know, she said some bullshit about expanding our horizons. And you know what? At that point, after she let it slip that she didn't care for Chinese dance as a style and that she hated it, or she didn't say that she hated it, but But after she said that she had no intention of learning Chinese dance and kind of disrespected it as a dance style, I didn't care what Miss Sunny said about expanding my horizons. If I was going to expand my horizons, it was going to be on my own terms, damn it. And also preferably with a teacher who did not openly shit on Chinese dance as an art form, frame one. And, you know, right now I'm struggling to convey to you what these classes with Maya were like, because I didn't experience her for long. She was, in fact, the teacher who made me quit this school. And I do not think she stuck around for long either, because I'm sure some of the parents were kind of mad with what was happening. But boy, are the memories that I have of her vivid and the feelings I have still very strong. So please forgive me if during this next part I get a little bit shouty and if I'm a bit all over the place. I've held on to these thoughts for the most part for, God, a little bit under 10 years. What can I say? So the first project that Maya tasked herself with was this little school performance. I do not know what the event was for. It could have been to celebrate the fact that we were in a new building or something. I really don't remember. But to sort of emphasize that we were apparently going to be forcibly expanding our horizons, we were not doing a Chinese dance. And honestly, after hearing this, I checked out so freaking hard, even more than I already was. And thankfully, I wasn't able to attend this event anyways. And a week later, it was revealed that another girl in this class wasn't going to be at this event either. So we were not going to be learning this dance. And for the next, 2 to 3 classes, each class being 2 hours, by the way, we were ignored completely. It was so bad, and it kind of got to the point of why are we even here? We were not even given a task of what to do in the meanwhile. We were, honest to God, completely disregarded. I to the point where I'd be surprised if Maya even said hello to us. It was really bad. So me and this other girl were off in another room, I guess, twiddling our thumbs, while the dance itself was not going super hot, let's say. It was some sort of hip-hoppy dance to Beyoncé's Who Run the World. And it was, from what I remember, one of those fake isolation-y dances. And the girl who did not like me, Rachel, Rachel was a big fan of this dance. But not to roast this dance teacher, because I even talked about last episode how difficult it is to be instructing multiple people doing different things and how long of a process that can be. But by the end of the first 2-hour class, the dance consisted of only 2 movements and it did not even last a full 8 count. These were minimal movements. Like, everybody was in some sort of hip-hoppy, kind of strange, bizarre pose. And then, you know, everyone breathed and like relaxed their pose a little bit and then snaps back into it. And, you know, it was objectively and still is objectively a pitiful amount of material to get through in 2 hours, especially when this area is an area that you are significantly more comfortable with than Chinese dance. But if you recall the lyrics for Who Run the World, the chorus, I guess that's the part, I don't know. But it goes, "Who run the world? We run this mother." And it always sounds so close to swearing for some reason, or at least to me. And even Rachel made a comment that it sounds like she's going to say mother-er. You know, the swear. So, you know, let me tell you what the audience is going to be like. The kids will be performing this in front of conservative Asian parents and the conservative Asian school director. I guess the school director checked in on, you know, the progress and was not a fan of young children dancing to the song that was like a breath away from swearing, but never actually swearing. So I guess I got canned before the performance. But honestly, I don't know how much progress they made on that dance. And I don't know what at the rate that they were going, if they were even going to be able to finish the dance because the progress was so slow for the amount of time that they had. But yeah, I can't imagine that they made a lot of progress on it. But after that ordeal, Maya comes into the class and she says, "The school director says we have to learn a Chinese dance. / neg." So, okay, so do you know if you look up Chinese dance, Jasmine Flower, I think America's Got Talent or something like that, one of the first videos that will pop up, or should pop up rather, is this Chinese dance influence, or rather, maybe it's more a ballet influenced Chinese dance. It was popular like 10 years ago. It's this fan dance that was done in point shoes and the music was Jasmine Flower. That was the dance that we were going to be attempting, apparently. The beginning of that dance is very formation dependent and it does a lot of crowd pleasing movements, like they make a flower with the fans in their little cube, whatever. Maya came from a modern contemporary background where covers or reinterpretations or whatever we did in Chinese dance was just less respected, I guess. But Maya could not for the life of her think of what to do to replace this part in the dance. So she reluctantly resolved to just keep it the same. And this was one of the most confusing classes I have ever endured. Maya had no intention of watching any Chinese dance video, and she was, you know, pretty vocal about not wanting to educate herself. And, you know, she was pretty confused now being in charge of a specifically Chinese dance. And she walked into class with this collaborative energy, which is, you know, that's all fun and good. But with a group of primarily middle school students, you do kind of need that final voice to make a decision of what's being kept and what wasn't. So class was just being filled with various suggestions of various quality, with various confidence, but no one was actually saying what we were committing to and what we were disregarding. And it got so confusing that I think at some point, Maya, she resolved to just move on. She kind of gave up, I guess, and she said, "Let's move on." And we've moved to, you know, more of the meat of the dance because the introduction sounds like this. And I think once you get past that part, the music kind of flourishes like this. And then it just, the music for the rest of it just does variations on the jasmine flower melody. So at some point post that little like toy box twinkly part, Maya assigned me and two other girls to a small bit in a group, we were kind of highlighted in one part of the dance, or we will be highlighted she said, hey, you guys have this small part in the group, but you have to come up with the choreography. And even just like recording this now, I'm like blinking because I was only in 10th grade. I had no self-choreography experience. And the two other girls were like in the thick of middle school. And we were just like thrown into the deep end, like more so than what Miss Birdie did, because what we were doing was supposedly going to be permanent. It was going to be something that we were actually going to perform. It wasn't just some silly little exercise. And also, it's like, you know, we didn't have any experience with self-choreography, and the dance teacher didn't have any experience with Chinese dance and choreographing for the style. But the difference between us and this grown-ass woman was that we were paying to learn. We were paying to learn from her. We were paying to be there. It was so infuriating back then. But now, looking back at it, it's pretty ridiculous, but like in a funny way. Like, it's funny how ridiculous it was. For the most part, this teacher was pretty adamant on original choreography, so it kind of sucked that we were doing a Chinese dance under her authority. And it sucked because she also had no intention to learn anything to create a choreography, so literally all the burden fell to us, the children, and also the students. It sucked so much. So after this, the most confusing class I've ever experienced, even to this day, I quietly talked to one of my other friends whom I knew was also just like not happy with the situation. And after the practice, the two of us went to talk to the director of the school about the situation. I was spearheading the conversation because, for one, I was the older one by 3 years. For two, I was the one to approach her with the idea of talking to the school director, whom we both found very intimidating. And we sat down and we laid out our grievances, sticking strictly to the objectively bad stuff, like saying, I don't like this dance teacher, doesn't really do anything. You know, it kind of undermines what we were trying to say. We were mostly sitting there to say, the dance teacher, collaborative energy, hooray. I don't know what's happening during class for 2 hours. And apparently the school director, I would later find out, was very impressed with the maturity with which I presented the problem. The following week I was away, and then the week I returned, two things happened. Firstly, at the beginning of class, Maya starts off with this little ditty, with this little speech for us. She said, it looks like one of you talked to the director of the school and complained about how I run the class, so now we can't have fun anymore. And she made sure to make eye contact with me when she said this. I was most certainly not going to be shying away from the shame that she was attempting to put upon me. I wasn't ashamed. I was actually quite proud of discussing this with the school director. And also, you know, although I personally wasn't paying out of my own pockets, I was still very well aware that the way that we had been spending our time the past like handful of weeks at that point was not worth the money that we were paying. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't like a 5-year-old. I didn't make a face back. I just stood there. Like, yeah, I did. I stood there with the understanding that she knew that I was the one to stitch on her, And I stood there like, yeah, I did do that, but like, you should be doing your job. I'm not ashamed. So yeah, then she also very maturely took away my small part in the group dance, citing the fact that I wasn't there the previous week as the reason why. But I mean, it's not like she was choreographing, you know, it wasn't like she was doing her job. We all know it was because she thinks that I was the one who snitched on her. Annoying. Yeah, pretty annoying. Bad form. Honestly, yeah, really bad form, because I was 16 and she was the adult. I was 16 and she was the adult who could legally vote, legally go to big person jail, legally get a tattoo. She could drink, buy a lottery ticket. She could drive. So Maya was very adamant on not only not learning the Chinese dance style, but also she was also adamant on not understanding just like how the school ran. Like, you got, okay, so the way the school worked is that you got, if you wanted to do a duet, you would pay for a private lesson, right? And that's how it worked. Like you would pay for a private lesson, and you would be able to, for the most part, like, either your parents, if you were young enough, or you, if you were old enough, would choose what dance you're doing, you know? Like, and then, you know, you would work on your small group or solo or whatever in the private class, and the group class would be reserved for the group dance. It sounds capitalistic, but it also makes sense in terms of time. But I remember she showed us this video of this dance competition, which I will talk about later. And she, afterwards, she basically said, assigned solos and small groups like we were in Dance Moms, and it was weird. Can someone who spent time in a dance studio that catered more towards contemporary modern styles confirm or deny if this is a regular practice at those studios? Because as far as I can tell, she ripped it straight from Dance Moms. And we all know that that show is not accurate as to how those studios actually work. But when she was assigning small groups and duets and solos, Maya says, okay, so one of the small groups has to be a Chinese dance / neg again. And I know this isn't what any of us really wants, but is anybody willing to bite the bullet for the group? And the part that gets me both then and now is this idea that Maya had of none of us wanting to do Chinese dance, because there were some of us in this group that were explicitly here for Chinese dance because we, the student, wanted to do Chinese dance, not because our parents necessarily wanted us to do Chinese dance. It was definitely two of us, at least, who very quickly volunteered ourselves for the punny little Chinese dance. And, you know, once we were confirmed enough, I guess, Maya basically told us that we were on our own. And, you know, I understand that we weren't paying for a private class, but she's still the dance teacher. Is she not? Like, she should still be working with us. It's so funny. So the school itself also is more wushu focused. It had wushu in the school name, so obviously that was going to be the focus of the school. The school at the time had wushu classes almost every day of the week for 2 hours at least during, you know, like after school hours. So Maya wanted to have these mandatory open house practices during the week because she basically said that we weren't skilled enough, and I'll talk about that later more. And she wanted to add this extra hour of dance in the middle of the week for us, which is super annoying. But the thing is that a lot of the girls in dance were in wushu, not to mention that the space would also be occupied by the wushu class. So the few days that there wasn't wushu was generally the few days, and I think day singular, that the wushu dance kids could actually focus on school and only on school. Like, they didn't have to be somewhere else. So I think she found it very frustrating to find a day of the week, let alone a time slot, that would not only work with everyone's individual schedules, but also the school's schedule. But she did find a time eventually, probably on like Tuesday afternoon or something. And, you know, I went because I had to and I was mad. And, you know, I was the only person in high school. And I was mad that I had to do my homework in the car because I thought those days were behind me. And I don't remember what we did during this class, but I remember my mom went in with me to drop me off because I think by this point I had already complained about the dance teacher. And so my mom wanted to scope out the vibe for herself. And honestly, I think a few of the other parents probably had the same idea because I do remember while everyone was changing out of their school clothes, Maya was talking to the parents about her plan for the dance class or something. And my mother walked away from this interaction with the conclusion that Maya did not seem like a particularly nice lady. Relatively early on, though, circling back to this idea of the dance competition, so she showed us this dance competition video. I think it was like some big hip hop group. Like this is like a pretty well-known video and group. And the group was amazing. Don't get me wrong. It just wasn't what we did. It was actually really far away from what we did. And, you know, Maya presented it like, see, that's what we're working towards. Followed by, you know, we'll be going to these competitions where you, who are minors, by the way, are going to be changing in the halls and super crazy and fun, like, and fun and stuff. And I was already checked out when this was presented to me, but honestly, presenting, you know, dance competitions as like everyone's changing in the hallway, even you, that's wild. Like, I understand that in the dance realm, you know, sometimes modesty goes out the window. And that's a whole nother topic that we can talk about. But that wasn't an experience that we really had in Chinese dance. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, my parents really liked having me in Chinese dance. Because we weren't sexualized in a way that people tend to sexualize kids who do modern dance. Like, the costumes were not very revealing. None of the dance movements could really be interpreted as inappropriate. You know what I mean, right? Like, so presenting this idea of, hey, do you like your modesty? Well, it's so much fun because nobody cares here. Like that's just a weird, it was a weird way to present it to minors who were very used to a very, like, sheltered environment, like, safely sheltered, though. Like, it was weird. But outside of her general disregard for Chinese dance while she was teaching a Chinese dance class, which is just a wild sentence, she did try to get us to learn new technique that was more common to the modern contemporary sphere. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of Chinese dances that overlap with modern contemporary styles, as you and I well know. And, you know, those dancers would therefore use some of those techniques, not that Maya ever cared to find out. The problem wasn't the idea that we were learning technique. The problem was that the way the technique was presented, as seems to be the pattern with this teacher. So we were trained in Chinese dance, you know. All of our dance teachers had been, unsurprisingly, Chinese and therefore used the Chinese terms to refer to technique that is both exclusively and not exclusively unique to Chinese dance. So, for example, like pin duan are shene turns, but we always refer to it as pin duan, or da tiao is, those are leaps. Fan Shen is a Chinese dance specific technique that translates to body turn, but so on and so forth, right? So Maya walks in and she's kind of pissed that we don't know the French name for the technique, as if the French term is like the only name the technique can go by. And she sort of like threw out technique names at us and then got mad when we didn't know what it was. Like, she never gave a demonstration or sometimes even a description. It was just like, do a shene turn. Let's do shene turns. And everyone's like, what's a shene turn? And she just got mad. Like, that's just not how you communicate. And that's also one of the reasons she's like, wow, these kids know nothing. They don't know what a freaking shene turn is. We need an extra practice every week. Like that's what motivated the extra practice, which is so crazy because we did know what we did know what a Shanae turn was. We just did not know it by the term Shanae turn. But this kind of attitude was not limited to a technique that we were expected to know. This also extended to a technique that she was trying to teach us. So you know how I mentioned Miss Birdie was on the older side? She still, you know, demonstrated technique, okay? She's still demonstrated technique. All of our previous teachers demonstrated technique, and not like full ass demonstrated technique. They like half-assed it, and they said, okay, but like it's going to look like this, and you're going to do this with your leg and this with your arms and so on and so forth, and it's going to look like this. And they did a half-assed demonstration, and so that you kind of get the idea. This dance teacher, okay, so she verbally describes what it's supposed to look like and what we're supposed to do. And then she just asked us to do it. And we have no idea what it's supposed to look like. And I do not remember if she even gave us feedback when we attempted. And she honestly probably didn't. But like, honestly, the entire process, like, what the hell, man? But, you know, I guess she got tired of us not knowing technique or just not understanding what she was trying to put down. But it's like, girl, you weren't printing anything down. You were just saying words, whatever. But so there were quite a few practices where we literally just did stylized walks across the floor for like 2 hours. And it's absolutely mind numbing. This is the dance teacher who made me quit dance at the school. So after I distinctly remember the day that I was like, this is my last class. It was the day that we did stylized walks across the floor for 2 hours. So I quit, but I was still in contact with my friends who were still suffering in this class. And from their accounts, it's things did not get better. I actually found, in preparation for this episode, I found the over 50 email exchanges I had with one of my friends that had her accounts of it. So famously, the story goes, Maya was trying to choreograph to Titanium. She had the kids bend over and look like dying trees. Like, what kind of position is that? And I can't really imagine. But I can't imagine the vision that she was going for. But then after looking like dead trees, she had the kids get up and do like weird poses. Apparently they're supposed to be like zombies rising from the dead, putting evil spells on people that they surrounded. So one thing to know about the person who told me this is that they are not like a poetic person. Like, that's a pretty vivid metaphor, you know? And so it makes me think that this is something that Maya told the kids instead of something that came out of my friends, like something that my friend produced independently. And honestly, that's just so odd. I do not know what the vision, I don't see the vision. And honestly, when I hear Titanium, I don't think of zombies arising from the dead putting evil spells on people. But apparently there was another week that the kids allegedly hung around like dead trees for 2 hours because no one wanted to work on the dance. Wild. But honestly, this dance teacher, this adult woman, it feels like, in hindsight, it feels like she is the type of person who never got past high school. She definitely favored Rachel, who happened to be the pettiest person in the class, and she also enabled her kind of bullying behavior. And because Rachel had adopted the idea that Chinese dance was lame as hell, Maya felt justified, I think, in believing similarly. I think that Maya thought that Rachel was somehow the alpha of the group and that everybody else followed in a similar thought process, which isn't true, obviously. And I think some of us in the class were too young to have much of an opinion. But those of us who were older, I mean, we definitely had thoughts and opinions that were in favor of Chinese dance. And at this point, you know, I think like Rachel had kind of bullied her way through the class. So a lot of people were not like particularly keen on Rachel. So, yeah. And, you know, when I was recounting all these events for this episode, the only thing that I thought, like me as adult Anna now, was, wow, why was the adult woman acting like a high school kid? Like, example, specifically with her reaction to me, a minor, a 16-year-old girl complaining about her. Like, you don't have, some kids complained about how you were teaching the class, or technically not teaching the class, and then you got reprimanded for it. Like you didn't have to take it out on the kids. Like, it's not our fault that you weren't doing your job, my guy. Like, and then she attempted, the worst part though is that she attempted, it wasn't that she took away a part that she had previously given me as punishment. It was the fact that really sets me over the edge. It's the fact that she tried to shame me like she was a middle schooler. Like, come on, you are a grown-ass woman in charge of minors who range from like children to teenagers. Like, please actually act like the adult instead of making the 16-year-old act like the adult. And, you know, in regards to her complete disdain, her random, honestly, disdain for Chinese dance, I was trying to think of, like, why would this person be so dismissive of this style? Why would she, like, just, like, walk into this class and be like, I hate this style, you know? Like, she didn't have any exposure to it before. So, like, what is going on? And, you know, what I think of this is, when somebody says, I do X type of dance, like, and it's like an ethnic based style of dance, like I do Indian dance or I do Irish dance, and people don't think, you know, like somehow, like, these don't have the same prestige as I do ballet, I do contemporary modern dance. And I don't want to say that, like, I think there is a little bit of this, like, there is this, like, elitism in the dance community that, like, you know, these Western styles are better than any sort of cultural dance that anyone could do, you know? And that's not true, because, you know, I think, Chinese dance, let's talk about Chinese dance specifically, because I do know this is also true of other styles. I'm just obviously not experienced in those other cultural styles, but, you know, it's a very technical dance style. Like, it's not like we're just flailing around out here, you know? Like, and that's something that I feel like, you know, that's really easy to figure out, you know? It's really easy to look at a dance, look up any Chinese dance, and say, oh, it's actually technically difficult, my bad, I was wrong, I'm educated now. But this person was unwilling to do that for some reason, and I find that really weird. But, like, so you're so dismissive of Chinese dance in a way that I'd never been introduced to before that point in my life. And looking back at it, I don't want to say, oh, she was racist, because, like, I feel like people of color try not to be racist, or they're, like, aware of, like, racist behavior, usually because they're the victim of racist behavior. You know what I mean? Like, usually, for example, the gay guy is not going to be homophobic. Keyword usually, like, the closeted gay guy might be homophobic out of fear, but, like, the openly gay guy, you know, the openly gay guy is probably not going to be homophobic. So, like, this person was kind of, it was proudly wore their person of color status, and you know what, good on them. I don't care if they wore that badge proudly. That has nothing to do with me. But, like, if you're wearing that badge proudly, that definitely means that they were subjected to some racist behavior in their lifetime, you know? And so I don't know why they chose to act in this way that now feels a little bit racist. Like, racist in a dance realm. Like, it feels icky. It feels icky when I think of it. But yeah, like, Maya was definitely the person who turned me off from modern contemporary style. Like, to this day, I personally do not have a fondness for the style in terms of my own doing it. Like I can watch it and I feel nothing, but like I don't want to do it. And honestly, this is really just a case study of how much a teacher can influence students' perception of the material. And I know that we all had experiences of good and bad teachers that impacted us and our thoughts on their respective areas of knowledge, but I cannot express to you how much irritation I felt when I had to deal with this experience in something that I could opt out of. Like, for example, I had a low-key, he was definitely anti-Asian. So I had this low-key anti-Asian history teacher in middle school, which was really unfortunate because I was the only Asian kid in my class. So it felt really targeted. But, you know, it sucked a lot, obviously. But there was kind of no way for me to, like, not be his student. Like, it was mandatory schooling, right? Like, I sort of just had to suck it up. And yeah, if there was a possibility of me being his student again, we could have probably talked to school administration and said, hey, we had this experience. Please do not put us in this class again. Like, we probably could have done that. But, like, by the time that his anti-Asian racist colors shown, it was a little bit too late, you know? So I kind of had to just, like, suck it up and wait for the school year to end. But, you know, dance is an extracurricular. I'm paying to be there, which means that I can stop paying and opt out. I didn't have to subject myself to the, let's be honest, shitty dance teacher. So yeah, it was pretty annoying as hell in the moment. But like now that I'm almost 10 years out from that experience, it's hilarious. And it's actually kind of funny how immature and incompetent this dance teacher was. And incompetent, like she chose incompetency. Like, she chose to be incompetent. Like, I can't blame her for not, like, having prior dance experience. Like, sometimes you can't help that. But once she got into that position, she chose to be incompetent. She chose to be ignorant. And that's really funny. I think that maybe the racist undertones are significantly less funny. But, yeah. I know this episode sounded pretty complainy, but it was actually a pretty fun episode for me to write and record. It was a surprisingly fun trip down memory lane. And, you know, again, since I'm a dance teacher now, I feel like it's productive for the children for me to remind myself of the bad dance teachers I had so that I could not replicate that behavior. Not that I think I'm in any danger of, like, replicating Maya's incompetency by choice. Wild. If you like what I'm doing and you want some behind the scenes, you can follow the podcast's Instagram at freestylethoughts_podofficial. That is freestyle thoughts, one word, and pod official also as one word. If you want to see more of me randomly throughout the week, I stream occasionally on Twitch now, twitch.tv/dxj22. I usually play pretty chill games, but sometimes I pop off and I talk about dance stuff for a long time. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Join us next week for another episode.